While we're talking about bad news, aren't we always talking bad news? There was some good news today.
To have that war is just absolutely, it's a shame.
Sir, are you
considering
a national emergency?
Mr. President,
are you considering a national emergency around the midterm election?
Who told you that?
There's been reporting that there's an executive order, proposed executive order about this. Are you looking at that? Are you considering that?
Mr. President, what about
the voter ID? What about the voter ID?
Mr. President, what's your message?
I know that you said that the regime officials are looking for ID.
Who told you that?
Emergency around the midterm election.
Who told you that?
What an interesting response from him, huh? What a fascinating, what a weirdly telling response from a man who has trouble like bluffing in the moment, you know? Who told you that? The reporting comes from the Washington Post. So the SAVE Act failed. I don't know if it would have had the outcome the Republicans were interested in, but it failed. You will not have to provide your passport, birth certificate, 3D scan of your asshole, etc. when you go to vote. So it looks like they might be trying something else. Trump seeking power over executive power over elections is urged to declare emergency. Activists who say they are in coordination with the White House are circulating a draft executive order that would unlock extraordinary presidential power over voting. No, it wouldn't. This is illegal. Let me just front the Washington Post right there, just really quickly to be clear. No, it wouldn't. It's illegal. Pro-Trump activists who say they're in coordination with the White House are circulating a 17-page draft executive order. By the way, I love for all the autopen discourse, because Trump projects like a motherfucker. Trump does not read the EOs that he signs, not even a little bit. Like, it is pretty normal for lawmakers, quote-unquote, to be given pre-written laws to sign off on, but I think that typically presidents read executive orders. They tend to be a lot shorter and less legalese-filled. Trump does not read his executive orders. It claims China interfered in the 2020 election as a basis to declare a national emergency that would unlock extraordinary presidential power over voting. Trump has repeatedly previewed a plan to mandate voter ID and ban mail ballots in November's midterm elections, which, oh, by the way, the Supreme Court actually just gave Republicans a potential venue for cheating in the upcoming elections, saying that mail carriers are not legally liable if they choose to not deliver mail, like, say, a ballot. That was from the Supreme Court. That was just the other day. See if I can't find that. Thank you, Supreme Court. Thank you, Clarence Thomas. Why am I having such a hard time finding any news about this? Supreme Court mail. Supreme Court fails to deliver for Texas woman who claimed Postal Service withheld mail because she's black. The Supreme Court on Tuesday ruled against a Texas woman who's attempting to sue the post office, claiming it withheld her mail because she's black. Clarence Thomas, thank you, Clarence, I wonder why they chose you, wrote the 5-4 opinion ruling the federal law exempts USPS from such lawsuits, even in some cases where mail carriers intentionally refuse delivery. So, I want to be clear. Freeing USPS from liability over undelivered mail does not mean that it's legal for them to not deliver your mail-in ballot. These are not perfect one-to-one issues, but they are adjacent. I feel like, in a way, it's kind of a vice signal. It's like a reminder in the lead-up to the midterms. Hey, guys, just to let you know, because whether or not it's legal, fuckery from the USPS, or from anyone, really, is really, really, really difficult to keep track of. In Texas, all it would take would be a couple of complicit USPS employees forgetting to deliver from a couple of ballot drop boxes, and that might be enough to flip an area. You know, keep in mind, it's the midterm. It's not presidential. We're not talking about millions of people across the country all voting for the president. We're talking about, like, potentially elections being decided by differences of 10, 100, 1,000 votes, at which point, you know, potentially that could actually make a huge difference. One ballot box in a relatively blue-leaning area, like near a school, that might be enough to just flip an election on its own. Labine Conan, a Texas real estate agent and landlord, claimed the USPS has for years intentionally declined to deliver her mail because of a racially motivated harassment campaign. Conan alleged the post office that covers two rental properties she owns in suburban Dallas changed the lock on her post office box, then declined to deliver the mail to her property. She claimed that happened because the carrier and postmaster did not, quote, like the idea that a black person, end quote, owned the property. She filed more than 50 administrative complaints, according to court records, and received written confirmation from postal authorities that she was entitled to have her mail delivered. And this went on for a while. The DOJ told the Supreme Court the mail was withheld for a technical reason. Conan, it said, was required to maintain a directory of her current tenants and failed to do so. Whether the postal officials were justified in withholding her mail was not at issue with the Supreme Court and will now be decided by lower courts. Right. So it's not about whether it's legal or allowed to not bring over the mail. It's about whether you can sue over this happening. It's kind of like the Supreme Court decision on presidential immunity, where it doesn't make the president doing bad stuff that's illegal legal. It just means you can't sue the president over it. Does that make sense? There's a difference between those things. Legal immunity from prosecution over your actions and the assumed legality of your actions are two different things. That being said, this is still stupid. And anyway, also tangential. So that's one little blow to, freedom. But let's talk about this one. Trump has repeatedly previewed a plan to mandate voter ID and ban mail ballots in November's midterm elections, which he can't do legally. And the activists expect their draft will figure into Trump's promised executive order on the issue. The White House declined to elaborate on Trump's plans. Under the Constitution, it's legislatures and states that really control how a state conducts its elections, and the president doesn't have any power to do that, said Peter Ticton, a Florida lawyer who is advocating for the draft executive order. Ticton attended the New York Military Academy with Trump and was part of his legal team that filed an unsuccessful 2022 lawsuit accusing Democrats of conspiring to damage him with allegations that his 2016 campaign colluded with Russia. But here we have a situation where the president is aware there are foreign interests that are interfering in our election processes. Guys, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. They pulled out the least likely loophole in the world. It turns out that if you manufacture a national emergency, you get to do whatever you want. You know, folks, they're calling it the most ingenious way of circumventing our rules yet discovered. Ticton went on. And I want to be clear, like language-wise, that causes a national emergency where the president has to be able to deal with it. Again, this is the guy advocating for it. Election denier, Trump legal advocate, so on and so forth. Here we have a situation where the president's aware there are foreign interests that are interfering in our election processes. That causes a national emergency. Just, I don't know. I think it's a telling verbiage. The emergency would empower the president to ban mail ballots and voting machines as the vector of foreign interference, Ticton argued. It would not. I'm just like passingly familiar with the Constitution. It would not. The idea of claiming emergency executive powers based on allegations of foreign interference attaches new significance to the admin's actions to reinvestigate the 2020 election. Trump has never accepted defeat, while never finding evidence of widespread fraud. Tulsi Gabbard is leading a review of election security that officials said focuses on foreign influence. A 2021 intelligence review concluded China considered efforts to influence the election, but did not go through with them. Ticton said he's had certain coordination with White House officials, but declined to specify, citing safety concerns. How interesting.
George, well, we know that the president is considering mandating stricter voting rules ahead of the midterms, and now we have learned that the president has reviewed this draft.
I love the constant apologia for this authoritarian regime. Once again,
rules ahead of the midterms, and now the president is considering mandating stricter voting rules ahead of the midterms, and
he can't do that. To be clear, he's not allowed to do that. He can't do that. Oh, he's considering doing that? Okay, thank you. Very neutral language there. Thank you.
Now we have learned that the president has reviewed this draft executive order, which would declare a national emergency, then giving him sweeping power over voting. Sources say a group of
You can't do that. Executive orders don't do that either.
Pro-Trump attorneys are urging the president to sign this 17-page draft order, which claims without evidence that China interfered in the 2020 election, arguing that that then justifies declaring a national emergency that would then allow the president to mandate voter ID, hand-counted ballots, and ban mail-in ballots.
It wouldn't. It wouldn't.
Now, it's not clear if the president is actually going to act on this proposal, but he has reviewed it. And we do know that he is considering taking executive action, posting recently, quote, there will be voter ID for the midterm elections, whether approved by Congress or not. But again, George, the Constitution gives states, not the president or the federal government, the power to run elections.
Really? Oh, how thank you for reminding your audience of that. I really appreciate that. It doesn't matter if it's illegal. They'll use it in states that where they have political control to, for example, keep Texas and Georgia from electing any more Democrats and let it be tied up in the courts for a year. So I think that your cynicism is warranted. I do think there's a very real possibility that red states would, to some extent, allow Trump to just violate the law, or they would go along with these proposals. The problem is there isn't really an enforcement mechanism here. So on one hand, right, executive orders can't tell states to do shit. It has no power over the states, none. An EO has no power over the states. And two, it also doesn't implement law in those states. How would you direct the residents in a red state, the cops, the judges, so on, to follow the rules that Trump is setting down without a law describing it? Like, on what basis would they do that? You know? Does that make any sense? Dems want to have voting, Republicans want to end democracy and to beat you to death with a rock. For a single mother, it might be hard to decipher the fog. That's how I feel when I wake up. Again, who's going to arrest the president? It's not about arresting the president. The point is that it's not as simple as just, like, okay, let me put it this way. If red states had the ability to just flat out block all their Democratic constituents from voting, they would already do it. Like, why can't they already do that? If they don't need law, then why haven't they already done it? In truth, it's actually really difficult. Like, Texas, they do engage in voter disenfranchisement, but they have to do it. It's difficult. They have to do it through piecemeal efforts. They have to, they purge voter rolls, and they limit people's participation at the ballot box. You know, there are steps they take, but there's nothing that Trump could do through an executive order that wouldn't give an incentive to those red states that wasn't there prior. You know? Optics, maybe? I think we're pretty far past the optics line. You know, Oklahoma is still letting Democrats participate in elections. I feel like we're well past the optics line for some of these people. Like, I promise you, if they could do this, they would be doing it.
Right, Marion. Another part of this campaign, the DOJ is suing five more states.
Yeah, George, that the list is now growing. The Justice Department now suing five more states for failing to hand over their full voter registration list. That brings the total number of states being sued to 29, plus the District of Columbia. Now,
not a single one of these lawsuits is going to succeed, by the way. Yeah, but Vosh, what if the Supreme Court then decides to do something incredibly stupid in relation to that EO? Would that give more powers? No, because executive orders aren't laws. The Supreme Court responds to lawsuits. They're the final court of appeals. There's nothing in executive. The only thing a Supreme Court could do with an executive order is rule it unconstitutional, which wouldn't really be. They can't give it more power. They would have to challenge the constitutionality of something the states are doing. Masaigu, I know you've linked that. Thank you. I know. Do you know, Masaigu? I was being real patient there. I'll tank it. No. You know. I saw. I've been reading it quietly on my second monitor. You don't need to keep linking it. It's okay. I'm determining whether or not it's worth talking about. I appreciate your insistence. Yes, the Cato Institute did essentially put out a statement saying this is stupid as shit and won't work. Also, I'm going to double link. NASA just canceled the Man Moon mission. We're not talking about that right now. You people are crazy. You people are crazy. Are the Cato Institute based? Oh, fuck. I should have gotten into video game streaming, man. No, Patrick. Mayonnaise is not an instrument. They're not based. They're just not the Heritage Foundation. The Cato Institute used to be one of the big, powerful think tanks behind the Republican Party. But after the Tea Party, they fell out of favor because they were too procedural, legalist, and rhino. They're like neocons, but they're not favorable to the open fascist stint that the administration takes nowadays. But because they're not openly fascist, they often are critical of what Trump is doing. So, but we do not have to give them credit.
States have been pushing back against these demands, citing, among other things, serious concerns about voter privacy. And all of this is coming as the president continues to keep up that steady drumbeat of misinformation about voter fraud and continues to spread, without evidence, those false claims that he won the 2020 election.
Fascinating stuff. This is from an hour ago.
Here with me, the Washington Post reporter behind that piece, Isaac Arnsdorf. Also with us, Eugene Daniels, MS Now senior Washington correspondent and co-host of The Weekend on MS Now. Isaac, some amazing reporting here. Tell us more about this draft and who's behind it.
So to be clear, this is not a White House draft. This is not an official White House document. This is something that some lawyers who have worked with Trump in the past on these election issues and have had success turning those into official actions are trying to get in front of him to encourage him.
But we know that he's read it.
Trump himself has said, if Congress doesn't pass...
By the way, huge, huge, huge dub for us that a bunch of Trump cronies internally are so desperate to get this to his office. You know why? Because it means they know they're going to get fucked in the midterms. They're literally on their end. They're like, they're like, fuck, dude. They're gonna get a fucking supermajority in the House. We need to do something. Throwing this in front of Trump. This reeks of desperation. It's way too late to do anything at this point.
Universal voter ID and ban mail ballots. I want to do it anyway with an executive order, and I'm looking at some legal arguments that have never been tried before. So these are some of the legal arguments that they're trying to get to him, that even though they acknowledge the Constitution does not give the president any role over election rules and regulations, that if they declare a national emergency based on allegations of foreign interference, then he can start exercising powers he wouldn't otherwise have.
So I just want to be clear about this, because the president was just gaggling with reporters as he was getting on Marine One from the White House.
Chat, what are midterms again? Do you watch me because you think I'm handsome? Out of curiosity, what are you getting from this?
And our reporter who was actually in that gaggle, Laura Barone Lopez, said he was asked specifically about that. He says he hasn't heard anything about it. He's not aware of it. So that actually conforms with what you're hearing. They're waiting to get this together to put in front of him. Would that be a fair way to put it?
They say they're coordinating with some people in the White House.
Okay.
Clearly, there are other people in the White House who do not think that this is a good idea, who think it's the last thing that they should be talking about in an election year. But the president also
has the potential to backfire massively as well, because you really don't want the major discourse leading up to the midterms to be Trump is trying ineptly to steal the election. You know, you really don't want that to be the big narrative.
House working for him, Kurt Olson, who was one of the lawyers advising him in the lead up to January 6th.
So this would not be out of the realm of possibility for the president to take something, again, from what might have been considered a fringe figure or group and turn it into action. How concerning is this, and what are you hearing from Democrats?
It's really concerning, because to Isaac's point about it not being a White House document, the president may or may not have seen it at this point, but it reinforces an idea that is already deeply embedded in his psyche. And when that is the case with Donald Trump, he wants to move forward. So he may not have heard about this, but now after Laura asked him about it, he might start asking his staff to see this document. And when you talk to Democrats, what they're saying is they're ready to fight. They're ready to do this on the state level, the local levels, because that is where elections in this country are held, but also federal Democrats who are going to be talking behind the scenes to their Republican colleagues, making sure they go talk to the president, tell him to come back.
I thought we as leftists do want that to be the talking point, though. Well, we want it to be the talking point. They don't want it to be the talking point.
And I don't know that that's going to work. So much of this is about voter ID, right? And if this president, if Republicans were serious...
No alarm in any of these people's voices, might as well be talking about a budget bill. Yeah, it's so disappointing. Even on MSNBC, you know? It feels like the only place where these people are allowed to cut loose and be a bit emphatic is in their punditry. The idea, like, Fox News isn't limited to this. When Fox News is covering, you know, the news, they're more than comfortable editorializing. But on MS Now or anywhere else, even with the relatively left leaning, like he's pretty relatively left leaning, you know, they just do not ever seem to care that much.
Voter ID in this country, having a federal voter ID, they would put some money behind it. They would figure out how to make sure that people had access to it. They would make it easier for folks to get
anytime,
and that is not the case that's happening.
Black person
so
is on screen.
Isaac,
you all interested in knowing who I think this guy looks like? Hey, everyone, I've got lots of opinions on this.
The pushback Jesus on this Christ. Is really about access, right? Who is going to be able to vote in this country? But secondarily, whose vote is going to be legitimately counted? What could this mean to voters if it actually came to pass?
Well, the order, an early draft that I saw does things like require or suggest it would do things like require everyone to re-register, showing proof of citizenship.
And you then, don't sound concerned either. I think people have people who have watched me for any length of time have a pretty good understanding of how I feel about Republicans and the future of this country. I think that, you know, sometimes, yes, I'm a little more mellow, but I think on average, I lay it out pretty clearly.
Require all,
and not just a driver's license as a proof of citizenship,
right? Like a
right?
passport, which a majority of eligible voters or actually registered voters currently don't have an unexpired passport with their current legal name, according to surveys. So it would require everyone to re-register and then only vote with hand-marked paper ballots that are then hand-counted. So it would change the way that voting is conducted everywhere, but that would inevitably get challenged in court, as you're hearing from Democrats and the groups that have challenged Trump's past executive orders on elections, like one last year.
It could make hanging chads from 2000 look like child's play. Eugene, the president made...
Wow, so we're so smart, we're so educated. It could make the hanging chads look like child's play. I don't know. Does anyone care? The SAVE Act was a far more real and tangible threat to elections than it died. Yeah, it was a law, not a fucking EO. And even then, I don't think the SAVE Act would have done as much as they wanted it to. What about The Hill? They've got opinions.
Campaign strategist and political analyst Erin McGuire. My friend, we work together a lot
yes,
at News Nation on The Hill.
We do. I'm excited to be here.
Welcome to the show. I'm going to tell you about her resume. She's worked as a communications director for Ted Cruz, national press secretary for Majority Leader John Thune,
phenomenal.
And former Speaker Kevin McCarthy, and has also worked for President Trump in 2020, Governor Ron DeSantis, Senator Ron Johnson, and former Speaker Paul Ryan. Lots on her resume here. So she's prepared
big,
to have
big
these conversations
overachiever.
With me. We're going to get into it.
And coming up on Rising, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton testified in the House Oversight Committee.
Unilaterally change election rules. Any attempt by the White House to do so would contradict the Constitution and would almost certainly be struck down by the courts. But this isn't happening in a vacuum. So for months, there's been a broader drive to cast doubt on the legitimacy of the 2026 midterms. In his State of the Union, the president falsely claimed that the, quote, only way Democrats get elected is to cheat. He's pushing the SAVE Act in Congress and has openly floated acting alone if lawmakers don't comply. It's legislation.
This is actually more boring than MS Now. All right, well, we'll just run with me then. Yeah, I think this is a huge sign of desperation on their part. They know that the midterms are going to be fucking ruinous for them. And I also think that there's a very real possibility that right now all of the smart Republicans who are not in the White House are like, please don't go forward with this. Please don't go forward with this. Please, 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 please. Whereas Trump and the people around him are like, this is a great idea. Yeah, China, national emergency. It's the only way. And then he ends up trying to push for it, and it turns into a big fucking mess that makes him look terrible, and all the Republicans have to pivot to support him. But they're supporting him in this, like, weird, ham-fisted edge case thing, you know, because they can't publicly disagree with Trump. Then it would be over for them, especially for any House member, because then they might lose their fucking election. But at the same time, they're like, you know, we really don't want to co-sign onto this really optically bad position, because that might hurt us even more in the midterm. Oh, God. If they're smart, they'll just cut their losses, accept the loss in 2026, and regroup in the future. Maybe, yeah. I mean, a loss of, like, losing Congress doesn't hurt them as much as it would in other presidential cycles, because Trump's whole thing is the, you know, mandate of the executive anyway. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.